the false science that we have. And Hildenberg man, Heidelberg man. Anyway, 1907. Built entirely from a jawbone. The Nebraska man, 1922, built from just one tooth and later discovered to be a pig's tooth. I'll leave it to your imagination, which is also part of the creation. The big one, though, is Piltdown man, 1953, built from the jawbone of a modern ape. Then they treated it with iron salt to make it look old. And it was a deliberate fraud to lie to the science world about our book's first phrase. Deliberately attacking our book, and still in textbooks today. So when it comes to evolution, science has gone off the deep end and has become nothing more than a false religion. And I hope that our schools in these new days, Hayomim Hadashah, that this can start to be turned around. First thing they could do away, just completely do away with the Department of Education and put it back in the states. The states have brains. The Fed never has. Okay, this is why our founding fathers put the power to the states. Oh, there was Peking man and Neanderthal man. You all remember him. He was the bent over one. Turned out he just was an old man with arthritis. There was Java man. But all these have been proven to be frauds now, and there continues to be not one missing link of any of the animals on Earth. Not one single missing link. And they still teach it and still believe it, which is amazing. But our education system is leftist, anti-God, and cursing our country. But how magnificent the human body, and we talked about that a little bit. And you could study the human body for years and still call it church, because God created man in his own image. So you could study man and it's church, because it will prove to you the existence of the Creator, which then results in the worship of the Creator, which is why we are studying the creation in depth here in Genesis chapter 1, which we're almost done with, and we'll move faster. But it is because the creation should mandate the glorification of the Creator, which we would call worship. And when you see the creation, you shake your head and you get down and you bow down, because then you realize you're not God, which is humanism, which is taught in our schools today. So how magnificent, we have the digestive system, the circulatory system, the respiration system, the sensory system, your eyeballs, and your nose, right? And your ears. And then the immune system. Now, science today still doesn't understand hardly anything about this, because why don't they understand very much about it? Because we are so complex and wonderfully made. It might take another couple thousand years to start to get a grasp on how wonderfully and fearfully we is made. Yeah, look at yourself in the mirror and just say hallelujah. That's all you can do. But like, how does the cell change its database to reject a virus and then remember it? Your immune system. Every cell. Your cells are smart. But the brain, though, and I'm not going to talk a lot about this, but the brain is over the top, right? And that's why you loved Ben Carson. And he says what we need in Washington is some brains, and he was a brain surgeon, right? But it's great. In your brain right now, there are how many connections? The networking, let's call it networking. The brain is the real networking system, okay? There are 10 to the 15th power connections in your brain right now. That means you are well connected. Yeah, we know that. I wasn't going to say anything. That's the elders there sitting there. They live in Estes, so they have a hard time getting here now. But they showed up today, and I go, "Do I know you?" And she goes, "It's been a while since I was here." And I go, "You mean you've been here before?" How many connections do you have? That would be the twin. If a tree has 50,000 leaves and you had 10,000 trees per square mile, you would need a forest the size of the United States of America to have as many leaves as you got connections in your brain right now. That's how many connections 10 to the 15th power is. So if you think about that for a little while, you'll get yourself a headache. But you are full of communication channels. 1% of your brain has more channels than all the communication connections in the world today. And all the phones of the world and all the internet connections and everything that they're connected to, 1% of your brain has more than all of it. Are you thinking right now? There's more going on in your head right now than all the connections of the earth. Right now. Well, you could pause on that for a minute. Okay, let's do it this way. I'm going to say a word. Messiah. 5 seconds later, what did I say? How did you do that? Memory. One of the most amazing parts of creation is the memory. And you take it for granted because we have one. But if you think about memory, it is the most amazing, over-the-top thing you could ever think of. You remember things. See? And of course, the word in Hebrew is zakar, which is important to God, right? And they used to think that memory was just one small part of the brain, and so they'd try to cut it out sometimes. But now they know that memory is spread all through the brain cells, all of them. This idea that you can remember things and pull things up from the past. And so let's pretend you're a computer. How many bits do you have? 2.8 times 10 to the 20th power bits of memory in your brain, right? So you have no excuse. That's about 1,000 bits per second for 10 billion years. In your brain. Now you got to look in the mirror and say hallelujah. And when you turn away from the mirror, you will remember what you look like. That is amazing, right? Now, and then there's other things. There's the imagination. We could just go forever on the imagination. Inspiration. Creativity. It goes way beyond memory. And, of course, we talked about quantum physics in creation. And so you could say our brain is picking up information from other dimensions outside of our consciousness. Because they are in quantum physics. Even from beyond our timeline. Can you say prophesy? Why can you have imagination and inspiration and create? Because you're created in God's image. So you have attributes that He has. And Tselem, God Tselem, I'll just jump over here for a second. In the sorcery world, there is supernatural power. It's not all just fake. They do have power that they get from the enemy. And so it's nothing to play around with, right? But if you ever read Watchman Nee's book, The Latent Power of the Soul, he'll say what the devil does in sorcery is he unlocks and allows power that was lost in the fall, that Adam originally had, for God's purposes. Now, you all know that the devil cannot create. He can only counterfeit. And so this latent power of the soul is people are giving their lives to HaSatan, and he opens up some of this power that originally was made for Adam. And in the future, in our glorified time, we will probably have all those back. But right now they are forbidden, and the devil opens up some of it and gives to the sorcery world, and that is one of the sources of their power. And so I just throw that out because it is a fascinating book. You all know Nee. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, your whole spirit, soul, and body. That's Ewan's, right? But it is that spiritual part that is the highest existence, as we've been talking about. It has the communion with the Creator. So we have the Ruach and the Nephesh, which we talked about. The Ruach is spirit, Nephesh is soul, the inner being, which departs with the death of the body and will return to the glorified body at the resurrection. Okay? So we're waiting for our glorified bodies, and everyone who has passed away is waiting for that unification with the glorified body. But it is this inner being that has the emotion, the will, the reason, but most importantly, it is the inner being that generates the worship. And that is the highest part of creation. It's not in the mind, but it's in the worship of your soul and spirit. Okay, last week we talked about the Trinity, which, remember, I teach, and you don't have to teach this, but I teach that there is one person of God in three contexts. I do not say three persons, and I can prove that biblically. But in the Trinity of man, you have body, soul, and spirit. So how many of you is there? See, you're just one person in three parts as well. God is just one person manifest in three different ways. But my spirit man could say to me, and I could understand it in my mind, and my heart would be encouraged, and my body would be relaxed because of the revelation. Now, I just covered all the parts of me, and I'm still just one person. Now, of course, there's Mike, which is another context. There's actually one and a half of me. One is enough. My wife says, one is enough, oh God. But see, there, you can't go to three persons with God. Just stay in one person and be biblical. In yeshiva, in the UMJC, Messianic Yeshiva, the Union of Messianic Jewish Congregations, which I grew up in the yeshiva, there was a brother one time in the class that said, my flesh rises up, or something like that. And the yeshiva Jewish instructor says, stop! Who rose up? And he goes, my flesh. And he goes, who? And the guy goes, I did. And he goes, thank you, continue. And they would not let him divide himself up, as the Western mindset always wants to do. He says, you sin, not your flesh. Okay? Now, you understand it as the fallen nature of the flesh and your mind and your heart and all these things, but you are still just one person. You can't say, the other person did it and not me. Right? Of course, I didn't know what he's talking about because I never had that problem. But anyway, just some. But see, on the in the creation we have these parts, and it's not all concrete how you want to divide things up. But in the West we like to divide things up and understand it that way. But let's not make God into three persons. There's just one throne. Okay, now it is that spiritual part that's the greatest. In Judaism, the soul, nefesh, and ruach, spirit, the soul is immortal and invisible, and that's true. The who you are, your spirit and soul, your inner being, never, ever stops existing. You never stop. See, you're stuck with you for a while. So you may as well start liking you. Your body dies and then is resurrected again as a glorified body. But your spirit and soul never die, right? And now Josephus says, all Jews except one group said the soul, nefesh, was forever. Who knows which group would say that the soul and spirit is not forever? The Sadducees. Why didn't they believe in the resurrection and all that, eternal life? It's because they only recognize Torah as inspired. And the Torah never teaches life after death objectively. It does in some form, but never objectively does it teach that. You have to go to the Nevi'im and the Ketuvim. And so the Sadducees never taught resurrection. Of course, Yeshua had to straighten them out. He just said, you err, right? And they did. But that's because they only had the Torah. Now, Eusebius said that the soul sleep was invented by third century heretics. What is soul sleep? That's that when you die, you are zeroed out until the resurrection. And I have had people in here teaching that while I'm trying to do a blooming funeral. And I let them live because I didn't want them to go to soul sleep. But it was a struggle because my flesh rose. It wouldn't have been me. Isn't life fun? But there are people that teach that you don't go to be with the Lord when you die, that you just zeroed out and you snooze, like Sleeping Beauty, and which would apply to me. But anyway, we have several verses that stop this craziness, this heresy of soul sleep. Today you will be with me in paradise. Now, the soul sleepers say that was just a vision and it wasn't objective. It wasn't supposed to be literal. Remember the first rule of hermeneutics. If the plain, literal sense makes sense, seek no other sense. He just said, you'll be with me today in paradise. That's plain, literal sense, so don't make no other sense about it. The transformation. Here we have Moshe Eliyahu, right? Moses and Elijah visiting with Yeshua in front of the disciples, and they had been gone for 1,000 years. So the sleepers say that it was just a vision, that it wasn't real. Once again, hermeneutics. But here they were visiting, and I don't know what they're visiting about. Probably politics, football, who knows? But the point is, they were talking, and you could see them talking. They weren't sleeping. Okay? All right. But how about this one? This is more relevant to our time. In Revelation 6, the cry of the martyred saints before the throne, saying, how long, O Lord, until you avenge our blood? And they're told, so they're speaking to Yeshua at the throne, and he is speaking back, wait a while longer till your number is full. They're not soul sleeping. They're complaining to God about the martyrdom. See? So we have verses. So don't shoot these people, but I mean, I'm doing a funeral for this lady, and they came in and says, we're not staying for the service because he's probably going to say that your mom's in heaven with God now, and that is absolutely wrong. She's not in heaven with God. And they're telling her this while she's trying to bury her mom. Can you say, don't say that. But talk about donkey holes. Moving on. Yes, thank you, dear. It's a NIV version. The word nephesh in Greek is psuche and psyche. You know these words. It's where psychology comes from. It is never equated with the physical life, only the non-physical, soul and spirit. In Greek, pneuma is ruach in Hebrew. Pneuma is wind and breath and spirit. And we get the word pneumatics from air. Like if you got an air compressor in your garage, it's a pneumatic tool. Yes. And so pneuma and psyche. But before we go on here, I want to say something about this thing called memory. And I think I have time left, which is another miracle of these last days. This thing with memory is so important. The who you are is a collection of memories. And that, you got to think about this week a little bit. Without these memories, you are a hollow person. A hollow person. And as we live longer in our society, we have this problem with Alzheimer's and dementia. And Coach McCartney was at CU this week, and now they've said that he has it. They're in Boulder. He got to speak to the CU football team, and he's Pastor McCartney now, you know. And this new coach over there was in the paper a couple weeks ago, and his wife was preaching the gospel in the Denver Post. So I don't know if there's a revival in Boulder again, which would be the third miracle we have. But these things about losing your memory is the worst thing imaginable, and the Jews say it is the worst thing that can happen to a person, is you lose your memory, and it robs you of the who you are. But on the other hand, the older one gets, the more precious your memories become, the more intense your life's memories are to you. And so young people can't appreciate what I'm saying right now because they haven't had to relate their life to time, the fourth dimension. See, when I look back 40 years of marriage, it's all of a sudden this beautiful, intensely great, awesome thing, which I couldn't have said 30 years ago. You see what I'm saying? And I brought this up when Satel did his concert here, because me and Satel had gone through the Jewish Roots movement together now, and he's getting old, and I don't know how long he'll be able to travel around and do concerts anymore. And I was just saying how precious it is when you have these long-term relationships. And so it's not just the memories, but if you have long-term relationships, these become more and more valuable as time goes on because of your memories. And so the memories are a very important aspect of the creation. And once a person has these long-time memories, they just get so weighty and precious. I just don't know how else to say it. Priceless. But it is a collection of memories. And it's important to God also in many ways. You know how many times he says Zakar, which is to remember. And he always wants us to remember. And he always has them setting up memorials, which is a Zakar. And why do we say someone is qualified as a leader? Because he has experience. Because he has memories. Experience is you remember what you have done. And the reason you have wisdom is because you have memories of your mistakes and you apply them to the current time. And then you don't make that mistake again. Whereas a young person hasn't learned from his mistakes yet, he hadn't made them as many. See? So see, if you, I'm just trying to say the who you are, part of the creation is this memory thing. which is connected to the fourth dimension that God created, which is just over the top. Why do you have elders instead of teenagers? Because elders have memories, right? And this makes them wise. And why do you send your kids to school or homeschool them? Oh, man, I had to correct myself there almost. But it's so they learn things. And what good would it be to learn if you don't remember anything? See, so your memory is the powerful part of who you are. And it's just enormous. And remember Yeshua, his greatest accomplishment in creation was not the physical creation, but the creation of redemption. And that's what the whole rest of the Bible is really about. After you get past page 3 of your Bible, the whole rest of it is he created redemption. And so what does he say? He said, do this in remember. Remember what I have done. And so I'll just stop on that, but I want you to kind of chew on that this week, right? God also teaches us in other ways, and we'll talk about that maybe later. But like the animals have instinct. They're not taught. They just know. And in man, we have part of our spirit is intuition. God can just give us a knowing without actually having to be taught it. And so it's a part of it. But anyway, be thankful for your memory. And Lord God, I just pray for our memories, and I pray against loss of memories in your people, Lord God. Preserve us from disease and protect us from that. And we pray the blood of the Lamb over our memories and our relationships. Amen. And so bless our memory, Lord God. Hallelujah. And even, B'Shem Yeshua, amen. Even bad memories help us become into his image, because when you regret something, what are you doing? When you regret something, and I have a lot of these, that's a bad memory. Where'd that come from? But they help you in your life to not redo them. Regret, and because you're remembering it. So you won't make that mistake again. So remember this message and pray for your memory. It's a special creation, very special blessing. And I'll stop there. We'll be moving into a little bit about the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Ba'ahavta et Adonai Eloheika levavaka ubeko nefsheka ubeko meodeka bruk shem kavod makato le'olam ba'ed. You shall love the Lord your God with just part of you. The greatest commandment is all of you. Whatever all of you is, it is your whole mind, soul, heart, strength. It's written different ways in different places in your Bible. Strength is added in the Brit Hadashah because it's translated out of the Septuagint. And in the Septuagint, they added strength because that's part of your heart, part of your soul. Your soul is mind, emotion, and will. The will is your strength. Without your willpower, you are weak. So they added strength, and Yeshua added strength in Mark, but not in Matthew. He just said in Matthew, heart, soul, and mind. But anyway, don't get confused on that. You are just wonderfully made, that's all. But as wonderful and as large and as many different aspects and contexts humans is, it's all supposed to love the Lord. It's all supposed to love the Lord. Amen. Isn't that something? In all of the creation, and as wonderful as you are, now, what are you going to do? Now, what are you going to do? Now, you respond, and you love the Lord your God. Yahvarekaka Adonai Vayishmereka. Ye'ir Adonai Panavaleka Vichu Naka. Yisau Adonai Panavaleka Voyoseim Laka Shalom B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Sarha Shalom. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you and lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Messiah. Amen and amen. Shabbat Shalom. What'd you just say? How did you know that? You're wonderfully and fearfully made in God's image. Go look in the mirror.